This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Oh man, we're so excited. This is Power Weekend Breakfast on Power 98.7. And the thrill really is when you meet somebody who is a founder, who's a CEO, designer, engineer, and visionary, who's brought an idea that time has come, right? Vereeniging-based car tech startup Mazibuko Motors has created the country's first electric battery bucky, the M1B pickup, and it's the latest innovation currently in concept stages but planning to launch. I read somewhere that you want to have your first prototype by the end of, is it this year?
Yeah, this year.
At the end of 2021. In studio with us is Nhlanhla Mazibuko. Welcome.
Hi, thank you guys for having me.
Brilliant. It's good to have you here. So let's talk about a little bit of your kind of history, right? I mean, Were you working in engineering? Were you working in motor design?
No, not even. Actually, the funny story is that I actually studied civil engineering.
Oh, okay.
In UJ. So, and then I didn't finish because I had problems funding my studies.
Sure.
So then I went to work in civil engineering for a year, was a site engineer. And then I found out that I didn't like it. Didn't love civil engineering. I didn't love working. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to quit. I'm going to start my own company. And then at that time, it was Flex Urban. Then I started
there. What were you doing with Flex Urban? What was that?
Flex Urban, it started as a blog. Then I started doing websites. Taught myself how to do websites. Then I started doing apps and made an online market, but that didn't work out. I blogged about it on my website. And I went through this phase where I was wondering what could be my next thing because I saw that Flex 7 was not going to get me where I wanted to go. And in 2019, going through this deep depression of what I was going to do next, I was very frustrated about the state of electric cars, the state of our climate change in our country and in the world. So through that frustration and talking to my friend and talking specifically about electric cars, that we don't have them and they're not coming to Africa, what's happening? And I was like, probably you should do it. I was like, you're crazy, no one just starts a car company, you don't do that. But then it was like, if there's anyone who could do it, it was you. And then I started looking into it. From then, early 2020, I really got into it, and I've been running ever since.
Wow, that's really an incredible story. So when you start thinking about electric motors and electric cars and sustainability, are you looking at Teslas? Are you looking at design? Or how does that start? That you gather the information and the knowledge that you need, but make it edge up against the rest of the competition?
I think you start with engineering.
Okay.
That's where you start. You say, how can our car be reliable, durable, and just as best as anything out there? So even when I started reading a lot of books, I started reading about batteries, motors. At least I had that, because the first 2 years in engineering, even though you do civil engineering, the first 2 years we do everything together.
Right.
So it's us, the electrical guys, the mechanical guys, and the civil guys. So you get that background knowledge, engineering that you need. So I started reading about those things. So that's where we started. Which how can that's why even if you go to our website, we have designed our own platform, which is the under of the car, the chassis, the batteries, and the motors. So that's where we started. And then once we had that, we were like, what's next? You know, the traditional route is that people always start with the supercar because then it's high margins, then you go down. That's what Tesla did.
Is that so?
Yeah, but with us, I was like, it wouldn't work because the whole point is that we want electric cars that South Africans can relate to.
Yes.
Something that we know and something that we love. And for me, being a South African, it was a bike. I was like, okay, a bike is something that I want and something that everyone loves. Mm. So then we're like, okay, no, let's start with a bike. And then we can go down probably in a couple of years, we can have a hot hatch because we also love hatchbacks. But that's where we went. And then so for me, bike, then we're like, okay, cool, external design. Then that's where we got to design. Yeah.
I was actually about to ask you why a baggy, but I think you just answered that. Because there's a story there and there's authenticity. And when you build a product, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got stories in your bag. Is there any memory, fun memory of the combustion baggy before we create new memories with the electric baggy?
Yeah, definitely. There are. I mean, even my first day UJ, been traveling a bike for my entire first year with my dad. Yeah, because it actually works close to Everseat. You know, we've had that bike since 2003. It's still very, still good, still powerful, you know. I wouldn't say OEM, but it's a very good bike.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely, I do have those stories, and it's very helpful. So that's why we went for that.
Yeah, because I mean, with the baki, it's not just a mode of transport that takes you from point A to point B. It is also a sort of like a commercial vehicle.
Yeah.
Because, guys, you can sell a lot of things, or even if you're moving sand, you know, it's one of those durable. So when it comes to the type of material that you're looking at using, just take us through that process at the type of materials you had to source and think about because of the type of vehicle a baki is, the work that it does, and also in line with what an electric vehicle the make should be that when it comes to just its body.
I think last year with regards to COVID, you know, we thought, which because we already made commitments that we were going to launch at EMCA, Electric E-Mobility Congress of South Africa, which was now in March. That's where we launched. So we had hoped which by then we're going to have a prototype, but then things moved very slow because of COVID.
Okay.
Many auto manufacturers had to close down or slow down production, and naturally we couldn't do what we wanted to do. But now we're very lucky that we have one partner already talked about, which is Foxconn. Foxconn is one of the largest contract manufacturers. They do our iPhones.
Oh, okay.
So we're working with them to develop our materials, Nyonki, and to develop a chassis that's going to be open source. And then another one I can't mention, it's a very big one as well. And then now they're also helping us with getting the best materials for our chassis, for our bike, in our, because really we do want it to be durable.
Yes.
You know, we want it to last long. We want it, whether you live here in Joburg or in the rural areas for farming and everything, we want it to be able to work there.
Yeah. Let's break down some of these terms that you've been using and throwing at us. Like, we know all of the things, right? In what do you mean by it's open source? So it's quite collaborative, what's happening with the chassis building.
Yeah, so we have our own chassis right now, our own platform that we're going to use for Epagate. But also we're working with Foxconn because the goal is that we want our future models to use this thing that has a lot of collaborations. It's really the best thing that we can have.
Right.
Yeah. So open source means that anyone can go and use it.
Right.
You know, so it's an open community. There's Microsoft, there's ARM. Okay. ARM does ARM chips on my phone.
Gotcha.
There's Amazon Web Services. So there's all of these big companies who are coming together, and then we're building this open source chassis so that we can push more electric vehicles in the future.
Nice. So I see now your M1B specifications, 500 kilowatt power, and the battery range will be 400 kilometers. Talk to us about some of the other specs that you're hoping to put into the M1B.
M1B.
Yeah.
Apart from those ones.
Yes. Even some of the oh, you don't want to tell us?
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah. Because really, you're talking about chips, you're talking about, you know, Microsoft, you're talking about stuff like that. So that's some of the internal specs that you, like, it's Internet of Things that's going to be in the car.
Definitely. I feel like the car of the future, or of today actually, it should be smart.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that we're actively working on. It's something that I'm working on right now. It's self-driving vehicles. And we're confident with when our car comes out, it's going to have level 2 self-driving. So Brilliant. It means lanes assist, it can change lanes for you automatically, you know, and then over time, just like a Tesla, it's going to be able to drive itself.
Yeah.
You know, so that increases the safety and all other things.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that we're working on.
You know, we were speaking to another gentleman a couple of weeks ago who is doing electric kind of scooters around Gokasi. You know him. You must know him.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, the issue of early adopters or people being open to moving into a different technological space. What are your thoughts and your feelings just from conversations that you've had and research that you've done about, you know, leaving the Isuzu and coming to the Mazibuko?
I don't know. I think it will be hard. I think, especially in SA, I think it will be hard because most of us, Hilux is that buggy to go to, you know. But then we saw what happened in Rage. It came in and then it shifted around. So we're confident that people will get onto it as much. Because with us, even the designs that we have now, the concept, the prototype and the pre-production car is going to be 60% different from this one.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be more practical and it's going to look like something that we used to. So that's why I said initially, Velo, when we came into this car, we wanted something that looks familiar and that's going to feel familiar to something that people know. So that you can get people to adapt and to jump into it, you know.
Yeah.
Another problem that I think that South Africa has, that's why we have like 1,000 or over 1,000 electric cars in SA, it's because they don't look like something that you're used to. You
know, yes, yes.
When you look at the i3, it's a nice car and it's a very good car, but it designed itself, people couldn't relate to it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're trying to do.
Be
to
honest, ZMB.
No, I was going to say, but they could have done better. But yes. EPM right now has beautiful electric cars that are coming in. They look very good now. They, you know, and I think that's what we need. We need people in order that instantly it can look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The number to dial is 0861-987-000. We're speaking to Nhlanhla Mazibuko, founder and CEO of the Mazibuko Motors, the M1B pickup, Africa's first battery electric pickup. That is what we're talking about here on Power Weekend Breakfast. So get in touch with us if you have any questions about the tech, about the business platform, and about some of the other information, you know, what it takes to be a startup in this world. You can talk to us there. The carbon zero and carbon footprint issue, is sustainability something that's top of mind for you?
Yeah, that's the whole goal. That's the whole point. I mean, one of my frustrations that I said, it was climate change, you know, like the climate change problem is not something of the next 5 years or 10 years. It's something that we see now. I mean, last year alone in the US, we saw wildfires and also we saw Texas freezing. You can see how the weather is changing and it's happening now. So one of the reasons why we thought, you know what, even if it's hard, we're going to go in, because what Tesla is doing is not enough.
Hmm.
You know, it's not moving quick enough. So everyone needs to come in and play our role. So it's definitely a problem.
Mm. Yeah. And you also are utilizing crowdfunding. Tell us about your relationship with crowdfunding, how that's been going.
So starting a tech company, I say it's very difficult.
Is it?
You know, and raising capital is very hard. I mean, most of our venture capitalists locally, they're not like in the US or other markets where you can just have an idea and show a bit of traction and things like that and then say, I need this much. They want a product that you already sold.
Is it?
They want to see, you know. Mm. So it's very difficult
That's
to raise the money. It is. It's very challenging.
Where are you meant to get money for your prototypes? How are you meant to do that? Are there incubators?
Right now, we are talking with a couple of investors, plus our partners.
Okay.
Yeah, our suppliers and guys that we have manufacturing contracts with, they're helping us out with
and
that.
I suppose the crowdsourcing can also assist.
Yeah, we're hoping for that.
Okay.
We're definitely hoping for that. That's why we have our crowdfunding, but also we have a seed round open.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're trying to raise money so that we can get there. And then our seed round is going to get us right before production.
Okay. Yeah. And then are you looking, I mean, you said you're looking for collaborations, but this is a company which you started and which you own.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to sound like it's Lion's Den, but how much of your business are you willing to sell and willing to keep to be able to raise funds? Because funding, it can be challenging.
Yeah, I think obviously as time goes by, I'll get diluted down.
Yeah.
But for now, in our seed round, it's sitting at 20%. We're selling 20% of the company for $10 million USD. So it's $150 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. You know, that sounds like a major amount of money. But talk to us in the reality.
It's really not. The car industry needs a lot of capital, and you spend a lot of money before you can even have a product.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, most companies spend billions and billions, but we were lucky to find. To go a different route, you know, to say, okay, if we can find manufacturing partners and we don't have to have to build our own facility from the scratch, then we don't need more billions and things like that.
You know, there's a guy who helped Mark Zuckerberg with, I think it was just graphic designing.
Yeah.
And then Zuckerberg didn't have money to pay him. And then he said, I'll give you about 0.8%, less than 1% of the company.
Yeah.
That guy is worth millions.
Mm, yeah.
And the thing is with ideas is I saw Kanye West this week I saw him personally, but I just saw the news about him.
Sorry. Kanye and I were hanging out.
But you know the news about him, and I remember the interview he did on Sway in the Morning and where he snapped. It's because he had just gotten a vision from God, and Sway interrupted a moment of God. He interrupted a moment of inspiration, and that's why he snapped. But that's the thing with genius and having an idea, is that not everyone is supposed to see it, and not everyone will see it. But the few that do get it and do see it, they'll invest in that idea, invest in that vision. And once it starts running, same way as Zuckerberg, that friend of his who invested in just graphic design, and now, you know, is a multimillionaire because of just less than a percentage of that company. It takes people who believe, but I think above all, the person who receives the vision is the one who must believe. And I think you do believe in what you're doing. Personally, I do believe, and if I did have just to buy the whole 20%, I will. But I mean, it's still a process, it's still ongoing, and I hope that you are able to gather people who believe in you as well.
Well, to your point, Stephen's phoned in and has a question. Maybe you can grab your headphones there. Nhlanhla Mazibuko was in studio with us talking about Mazibuko Motors and the M1B pickup, the country's first electric battery bucky. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Pavel. Good morning, Santa. I just want to ask something. As being black, I mean, I assume you are black like me. When the idea, business idea came, with whom did you share it for the first time? I've got a reason why I'm actually asking this question.
Who did you share it with? Steve, let's get the answer and then we'll hear why you want to know that answer. So Nhlanhla, Stephen wants to know, when you first got the idea, who did you first share it with? Who's the first person you told?
It has to be my best friend, Stemi. So the one who actually, you know, I was discussing this with, I think it was him. And then it took me a couple of months to share it with anyone else because I had to get myself mentally ready for it, because I knew that it was something very huge. So I spent months just fine-tuning it and getting ready for it. And then after LARP, I think it was just friends and family, but people very close to me.
Interesting. All right, Steve Over, we want to know, why are you asking that?
Yes, I had a product that I wanted to go and test in the lab now, which most of the labs are not actually owned by the Black Society. And the first question that I was asked by whoever the lab owner is, what did I use to make this product? And then I said, no, what I wanted to do is just to test the contents, whether it has got alcohol, and if there is alcohol, how much is it? Not to tell what am I going to do?
Because that's your IP.
That is shady.
That's very shady.
So that's what happened. And then I eventually said that, no, maybe being black and tough mind person, I said, no, you only believe that because it is from the idea, comes from the black mind, it must have present. That's why you wanted to find out what I see. But I was saying that, no, I'm very proud to hear that there is a black society that has now come to a point where they started their own things that they can own it. They are not copying anybody. They are originals.
I think, Stephen, you know what you can try. I think for me, I try not to concentrate too much on hiding ideas or people might steal. I mean, ideas are cheap. Execution is everything. I'm not the first one to think of doing an electric car. A lot of people have thought about it, you know. It's just the gut and the grit to say, I'm going to do it. But I think what you can do, just go online, try and find NDA form. You'll find a template. Find that. We fund it, refine it. And then whoever you're going to work with, tell them, listen, here's an anti-disclosure agreement. Please sign it. Then you can move forward.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
That's brilliant.
I really appreciate it. And be blessed. And then I hope that this is going to take us to the next level. That is what I'm actually saying. As an ultra-experienced adult, I normally say that this is not the time to produce tough-mindedness individuals in our country.
And look what the potential future holds. Whatever your product is, imagine, you know, that being delivered in an M1B pickup all across the country. Things can happen. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much for calling in. What is the community of entrepreneurs and startup founders like? Do you have some sort of community where you can bounce ideas off each other and support each other?
This is going to sound bad, but no, I really don't. I think for me, most of motivation, what drives me usually, it's podcasts, you know,
because
most of the people that I look up to, they're not around, you know, it's people of the states, it's billionaires and people who've really created industries, you know, so
Because in South Africa, we don't find multi-millionaires or billionaires who have created something. It's people that buy into a business or do that. We don't have inventors.
And it's strange because we do have inventors, but we don't have multi-billionaire inventors.
And simply because we don't have people who believe in them. We don't have people. I mean, like Papi was saying, we spoke to another manufacturer, similar industry as you, and just talking about government and saying that, forget it. Don't even go knock on doors. And we got calls from young people saying, don't even go knock on government doors. No one's going to help you. They don't have the vision. They can't see this. But I mean, because you did say this as well, it's not about people stealing ideas, it's about grit, because it's your idea and you got to have the guts to do it. But I'm sure sharing an idea with trusted people, of course, strengthens it, because they're able to see things that you did not see.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It does, you know. And I think it also tests your selling of the idea, but it also validates it. Will it work or won't it work?
Mm. Yeah.
And also, once you start sharing it, Nabant, and then you see it grow and come to life.
Let's speak to Miyeshe, who's in Pretoria. Miyeshe, good to hear from you.
Hi, great, Bobby. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. Go ahead with the plan.
Morning. And to your guest there. Listen, I think, is it not ironic that what he's trying to do, this will be the pathfinders. Imagine what would have happened if Makate was paid. Mm. Because this is what happens. If you pay somebody for creating something, you are saying for the next generation, you can actually make money from making something and make good money. Mm. And if someone like Makate was paid, he would have made money from creating something. It would be easier for him to listen to somebody who's got an idea and he would buy into it.
Yes.
People think, like, what's happening in America, it's a miracle. It is cascaded. People who are funding Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, are people who made money in the .com era. In the Yahoo era, those people are what you would call venture capitalists. They are funders.
Yes.
They make money from thinking, from innovation. So in America, it is good. People buy into an idea, not in a product, not like us. We don't even have a single billionaire in this country who make money from making anything. These are tenderpreneurs and people who make money from tax people's money and BEE. Nobody has created nothing. So how would you go to even, let's say, our president, how can you say to him, I've got an idea, all I need is funding for 100 million funding? He doesn't,
doesn't understand.
You're talking out of his head.
Sure.
He doesn't understand it because he has never made anything. So these are the pathfinders. I'm saying to them, if we go through it, and I say, Makate, if he was an American, Congress would have made Vodacom pay. And lastly, I am sad about our black businesses. How many black CEOs did we have in Vodacom? And how many board members? They are all black. Why don't you say the elephant in the room here is Makate? When are we paying him?
Yes.
They are simply going in, becoming part of the institutions, cutting up. They don't care of their own people. When they are kicked out or chased, the black business come and speaks on their behalf. When they are there, they are gatekeepers. I'm saying to him, you go ahead. You are the pathfinders. You are the guys who tomorrow, when a young guy comes to you and say, I have designed a tire which can run for 20 years without finishing.
Yes.
You wouldn't say, what a stupid idea. You would say, come here. Let's sit down. I've got 10 million to invest in you. It cascades. That's what we need.
It's
a trickle-down effect. So that's what we need. What this country needs to be built on. And lastly, Pabi, you look at it. Today, the top 10 biggest companies in the world, they are tech companies. All the billion and the trillion companies are tech companies, not a mining company. It shows you that the next future is about thinking, it's about innovation, and this is where our education should go. Not produce people who go and look for a job, but produce thinkers, because we are a country mirrored with so many problems. When you've got thinkers, they can solve the problems. That's how you make money. We don't look for problems. In this country, it's a daily problem. When you have people who can think, they make money by solving our problems. We need an education like that.
Brilliant, Miyeshe. Brilliant.
Always.
And
always,
if anybody is thinking of putting education structures together, that is where we need to go. We're going to take a quick break and find out what's happening in the very latest headlines. Ntlantla is going to stick around with us. Thabo and the other callers, I see you as well. And we'll get to you after this, your 8:30 headlines.
Bigger and stronger. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg,
104.4 in the Vaal,
and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
It's 8:38 and we're talking to Nhlanhla Mazibuko, founder and CEO of Mazibuko Motors. He's just been describing the journey that he's had, you know, the challenges that he's had, but the optimism, the excitement, the innovation, the creativity. Miyeshe, thank you as well for your call, for inspiring not just the young man, Nhlanhla, but for inspiring us as well to dream bigger, to believe in our ideas. In fact, off air, Nhlanhla and I are talking about how I also dropped out of school, but I did not feel bad. And we tend to see that it's the people that we were studying with. In fact, I went back to the same institution I dropped out at to go work as a promoter. I was promoting laptops, but because I understood my path and that this is all in line with my path, I was safe in it, and the journey moved on. 0861-987-000.
The three dropouts here on studio.
We are the
just
happiest people.
Promoting.
Wait a second.
Look, every path is not for everybody. Yeah. But yes, as founders, as CEOs, as entrepreneurs, it is a completely different world. Yes, let's go to the lines.
Yeah, let's go to Mamelodi Thabo. Good morning. Welcome to Power Weekend Breakfast.
Yes, Vangelin Zuza and Pabi Muloi. You know, today your guests are so inspiring. Yet again, Matthew was giving me hope. You know, I, as an innovator myself, I design concepts, you know, where the government is leading. And then I've been knocking on doors, and I was just on the verge of giving up. And then here is your guest again, an innovator himself, Mazibugo, my brother. You know, you are inspiring. Hold on to Mazibugo, Bagi. There will be investors who will want to buy the idea and scrap the Mazibugo on that bag. Don't let them. Just sell the mistake, because of this is your legacy. This is Mazibugo who will remain in this world long after you have died, my brother. So your name will be in the book. This is history in the making. You know, you are giving me hope yet again. And I want to thank the Power FM guys, saying that your guest today has been very inspiring. And then I'm going to hold on to my dreams, because of I have so many concepts that I have designed as an innovator, as an IT specialist. And then I know that one day, because of we have black billionaires who don't, you know, who rather pay tax, millions of tax than to fund an idea, you know, that will change the world. So, Mazibugo, I know that one day, me and you, we will meet, because of you, with that idea, you have investors. And then you will see how, you know, how it's important to invest and change the world. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Thabo.
You know, I was talking, I think we said this off air, how what's happening here is that we're becoming emotional, because you're going to hear people who are tech-minded, who are interested in the specs, who want to know about that, and we're passionate about that. But also we're passionate about, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, as a thinker, like everybody's been commending you for doing, how there are so many hurdles and hoops that we have to climb and jump through in order to succeed. So what does it feel like when you keep hearing, you know, this kind of feedback? It must give you a mirror back to you, because this is how you feel.
And it's, I don't know, I'm getting very emotional because I didn't think about this, and it's very hard online, you know, and it's been very, very hard, and it's lonely as well. I think that's one thing that I don't tell you about being an entrepreneur, which it's very lonely. You know, the idea is yours, the business is yours, and you have to sell it to everyone, you know. And we always complain, people don't see vision and whatnot. But what we also have to remember is that it's your idea and it's your vision. And it's up to you to sell it to people and to make them to believe in it and see it how you see it. You know, and that part is very difficult. But once you start to understand more and experience with, this is how I sell, this is how I do this, then it gets better.
And our last caller now is Pogiso Dibakwane, who's a motoring expert. Pogiso, can't you listen to us? Hello.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Good to have you.
You guys have been speaking my language since in the morning, from Elon Musk until now, to Mr. Mazibugo. And I would like to welcome Mr. Mazibugo in the motor industry.
Thank you.
The suffering, it's like that, my brother, unfortunately. I'm in a space where I'm researching charging capabilities, how to roll it out. So one day we might collaborate, in a sense that I'll be rolling out your charges on the streets. Let's hope that they will come. The industrial development has a company, that a Chinese company called BRIC. Industrial development owns 65%. The factory is right here in PE. I don't know why did they partner up with that company, because their sales is like zero, but they have spent billions preparing that. But yet I'm sure you guys don't even know what is big.
Even that you in Tlanta. No, I don't. Because us, it's fine. We don't know. We don't know anything. But you in Tlanta. So that's interesting.
BAIC. It's a company that manufactures smaller than a car. It's a that's where I don't understand how government thinks about this. Haval.
Yes. Haval, has, Haval, yeah.
Yes, Haval is linked to the same company. Oh. Haval in Korea is linked to BMW. Haval owns 40% of BMW in Korea or China.
So these but are here, these are companies that our government is investing in and bringing on board into South Africa.
Thank you. But they cannot invest in us.
Where ours aren't getting the same. Yeah. I see.
Here's another aspect that you should think about, and Mazibuko maybe will back me up on this. Every time I pour petrol, I ask the petrol attendant, do you know that Shell, BP, all these top six companies that have fuel in South Africa are talking about creating a network of charging cars? Where does that leave the petrol attendant? Do you know about this? And they go like, what do you mean?
Oh, man.
So we're in a coma in terms of EVs. Right now in South Africa is the best time to buy an EV because charging is free. You go to Melrose, you can leave your car there, do your shopping, charge for free. So everybody's saying, no, but what about load shedding? That it wouldn't even affect you. Charging is free. You pay $500,000 for that particular model, and then you don't have to do anything for 12 years because normally this is what the battery life will give you. Of an EV. 12 years, not changing, all you have to do is change brake pads, not changing oil.
I was about to say maintenance, it's very low.
No maintenance, zero.
No air filters to remove.
Of course.
If you take a BMW today, if you buy a BMW today, you would have spent 1.2 million in a lifespan of 7 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in 14 years, that's 2.5 million.
Yeah.
Exactly. On one car.
Yeah.
On one car. People don't realize it. But if you buy an EV, look, let me give you something. Elon Musk does not care about design. Elon Musk is looking to refine the battery in a point that BMW will come knocking in his door and say, look, we want this battery. Another opportunity we are missing, a graphite is the core formula of a battery that is fitted into these electrical cars. Graphite is mined right here in Mozambique. But our government is not even going next door and say, look, we have the components. Let's manufacture these things here.
I think we need to have a motoring round table. That's what we need to do at some point. And Pukwisa, so you'll definitely be invited along. And then bring one of the cars that you're working on at the time so we can go on a... Right. We have to wrap it up. We're moving on to our next conversation. But thank you very much, Pukwisa. And Nhlanhla, how do we find more information about Mazibuko Motors?
Please go to the website, mazibukomotors.com, and then everything is there.
Okay.
About our investing, crowdfunding, and social media accounts. It's the same. Mazibuko Motors at Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. It's the same everywhere.
Fantastic. It's been just revolutionary talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.